doing the whole 6010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. We are presented by Geico. Got a little ahead of the curve there, Daniel, but I felt like if I projected...
I love it.
Hear me.
No, I love
Hutch,
it.
Although a little bit rude to Hutch to drown out his wonderful voice. Field Yates, Mike Clay here on a Thursday.
What's going on, man?
Good morning. We don't know...
Anything going on today?
Nope.
Later today?
No? Not that I'm... Oh. Just thought of it. Friends. It's available on a rerun later today.
Oh, okay. All right.
Friends
I knew
marathon.
Something. I knew yeah. I had something on my calendar. I couldn't remember what it was.
So, Friends right, is on good. Later on today. I know Daniel Dopp will be watching. Stefania Bell, who was with us as well, will be watching. More seriously, guys, we've made it. We have made it to the start of the NFL regular season. I'm not sure the appropriate analogy. I always feel like Christmas morning is actually week one Sunday, but this is an excellent way to get yourself excited for the season ahead. We couldn't ask for a better matchup. We've got the Chiefs and the Texans tonight. We will preview that game in just a little bit. Obviously, can't wait to see Patrick Mahomes. He of $500 million wealth and part owner of the Kansas City Royals. And, oh, by the way, a Super Bowl MVP and so much more. We got a lot to get to on the show today. As I mentioned, we'll have a game preview. Mike Clay will discuss wide receiver cornerback matchups as well. I'm not sure there's a more informative piece that you'll find on ESPN throughout the week than Mike Clay's wide receiver cornerback matchups. We'll get into that. But first, as always, it's time for some news or noise.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
News or noise.
Loud noises!
All right, let's get to some news or noise. And Daniel, you are up to lead the charge as always.
I appreciate that, Field. We're going to start with Stefania here because Stefania, Mike Evans missed practice and could be a game time decision. It seems silly to ask this question, but news or noise with Mike Evans here for week one.
Oh, it's news. I mean, Mike Evans is a top wide receiver in fantasy, and I have to give Matthew Berry a little credit here,
what?
And I'm so
what?
Glad he's not on the show today, because if you recall, he was asking me, well, we were looking at guys preseason, he said he was nervous about Mike Evans and Chris Godwin because they both had hamstring injuries late in the season, and Mike Evans did go on IR. His season ended because of a hamstring injury last year, and I said, look, you know, they've had all offseason. There's been no reports of ill health. Everything was normal when they returned to practice. So I was like, of course, whenever you have a history of a hamstring injury, it's there as a bit of a flag, but it was hard to really downgrade them, either one of them at that point. But now that Mike Evans is missing practice with a hamstring injury, and I'm trying to verify if it's in fact the same one, I've heard some reports that it is the same one, which would make me much more nervous trying to verify that. But bottom line is, game time decision. Bruce Arians, I believe, said they're going to roll to the wire to wait for his availability. But I'd be nervous, quite frankly, even if he does play.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Well, we'll have to have a little bit more information, not just on Friday, but realistically Sunday morning is when you're going to want to check in on this. We'll be back with Stefania in just a little bit. But Mike, yeah, I mean, obviously it's news. Like, I'm not sure what more to add other than it's news. And if Mike Evans plays, there's risk involved. I think I don't have an answer. You know why? Because I don't know. Like, you know, we usually learn about things such as part-time roles, right? Like, hey, he'll play, but he'll be on a pitch count, so to speak. That's the kind of information we normally get on Sunday. So right now, I don't know what my answer is on whether I'd play Mike Evans. Let me ask you one question, though, because I'm assuming you feel the same way.
I do. Yeah, definitely like, news here.
Yeah, it's definitely news. But I'm sure, like, hey, if Mike Evans plays, like, I'd like a little bit more context before I tell you definitely play him. If he doesn't play, though, just this is the first week of the Tom Brady-led era in Tampa Bay. Who benefits the most? Is it another wide receiver like Scotty Miller that all of a sudden gets pushed into starting lineups? Is it Gronk all of a sudden becomes a top five tight end play? What's the trickle down if Mike Evans sits?
Well, I think you will see heavier packages, right? They have the personnel to do that, right? Yeah. They have multiple running backs, especially if Leonard Fournette to go, which we expect. They have Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard to go with Rob Gronkowski. So they have the personnel to use heavier packages. I think that will be the case. But I will be looking at Scotty Miller. I think he's interesting. That you saw a lot of positivity in offseason reports.
Yeah, Tom Brady included.
Yeah, exactly.
From Tom Brady, I should
Which
say.
Is good. I think your quarterback liking you seems like a good sign.
Reasonable.
Average depth of target last season, just under 18 yards. They got the ball downfield to him. So, you know, if you are in a deeper league and Evans is out, maybe you have to throw a dart. Maybe he catches a 64-yard touchdown, right? It's very possible. But by the way, really quickly on Evans, keep in mind that even if he plays, right, we're going to be worried about a setback, right? You're going to be nervous about that in the first place. Also a very tough matchup.
Yeah.
He's going to be shadowed by Marshon Lattimore. And really quickly for you, I thought this was interesting. During the Lattimore era, three seasons, they've faced off the Saints and Bucks six times. Mike Evans' stat lines in those games, one catch, 13 yards, five catches, 55 yards, seven for 147 and a touchdown. That was his only good game, four for 86. And then last year, he got shut out the first time they played against Lattimore. Zero targets, zero catches in that game. And then four for 69 in the second meeting, but Lattimore was out for that one. So he has struggled against the Saints defense the past three seasons, and we have to deal with this hamstring. I'm really concerned if I have him on my roster.
Yeah, to be clear, by the way, while you could consider Scotty Miller at week one, there are a lot of other players that are being drafted not to start that you could start in a pinch-hitting need. Sterling Shepard's an example of a guy that I keep seeing who's going like wide receiver 37, even if his matchup is not great on Monday night. Certainly a player you could start if you have a Mike Evans injury on Sunday. Daniel, what else?
Next up, I'm going to come to you on this field. Mark Ingram says that Lamar Jackson is light years ahead of where he was in 2019. Is this news or noise, given the fact that Lamar Jackson was already really freaking good at football?
I was going to say it's noise. And listen, I respect the heck out of Mark Ingram's opinion, and I'm really glad to hear that Lamar Jackson is making more strides. I think ultimately, like, the strategy for Lamar Jackson has been consistent since the moment people started doing their drafts, right? I think there's a certain premium that I was not willing to pay for Lamar Jackson, which would be like 13th or 15th, which is where he was often going in drafts. But because he would have to basically be what he was last year again, with all other quarterbacks not being anywhere close to what Lamar Jackson was last year again, which just seems unlikely regression. It's noise. I mean, he's going to be great. I'm excited. I drafted him in the War Room League last night at the bat at like pick 30. So a little bit, as I mentioned, 13 to 30 is a big difference there. So it's noise. It's good news. I'm just excited to watch Lamar Jackson play this season.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely noise. And look, last season, if you said Patrick Mahomes will regress, the pushback was he's entering his second season. He only has one full season, right? He has to be better. And my answer was, well, he could play better and be worse in fantasy. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson, who led the NFL in passing touchdowns and was number one in rushing attempts and rushing yards. I mean, that's not sustainable.
Right. Well, rushing attempts and rushing yards could sustain for quarterbacks, but the passing touchdowns are going to be tough. This reminds me of kind of like last year when Patrick Mahomes just learned how to read defenses.
And
it was like, oh, yeah, exactly now we can read defenses. Yeah. It's like, wait, the past few years.
Throw for 80 touchdowns.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. All right. Next up, Daniel.
Next up, Dalvin Cook says that if his number is called, he'll be out there. Mike Clay, is this news or noise? Because we've obviously had a little bit of Dalvin Cook drama this offseason.
I think it's news because he could actually be a slight steal in drafts, right? Because had there been no concern about holdouts with him, he might have been, second player off the board, right? Yep. I mean, remember last season, through week 14, led the NFL in rushing touchdowns and was behind only Christian McCaffrey in fantasy points. I mean, he has number one running back upside. He has 350-plus touch upside. So if he's a go, you're feeling good. So I think we kind of expected him to play. That's why it's not super newsy today, but it's good. You feel better.
I think it's noise only because, like, I think the news could come in the next 72 hours of an extension being hammered out for Dalvin Cook, and that would wash away all the concerns that we have that have sort of percolated through the month of August. Mike, to your point, I got Cook sixth in a draft recently, actually, for this here fantasy football podcast that we are on. I got him sixth in that draft, and I feel like there's some risk, obviously, and I could have gone Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it also may prove to be the best value pick that I make. Daniel, what's next?
Next up, Dare Ogunbowale signs with Jacksonville after both Armstead and Ozigbo are out with COVID-19 list and then a hamstring injury. Is this news or noise for Jacksonville's backfield here, Field?
Yeah, so it's news and noise. So the news is, by the way, not just that Rykel Armstead is on the COVID list, like you mentioned, and that Divine Ozigbo has a hamstring. He was put on IR, so he's going to miss at least the first 3 weeks of the season. Okay. And we'll see how long that is. That's the news part. The noise part is that, like I said this a couple days ago, and I borrowed the line from others on fantasy Twitter. Like the answer to which Jaguars running back you want is like, check back next year when they have like Travis Etienne or something, right?
Sure.
You know, out of Clemson, like give me a guy that actually has as much upside. I have been praising the value of Chris Thompson as a late round player because put in a deeper league where he's going to get you 8 to 15 points in some weeks. But I'm largely staying away. However, Mike might not be quite as stay away from this Jacksonville backfield, right? And Daniel, tell us more about this.
Yeah, I'm a little bit interested in this. With our smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson and Mike Clay, James Robinson is a guy, undrafted free agent, rookie free agent, comes in and potentially has the chance to have a good workload here in week one if things go well. Where are you at on James Robinson here?
Look, I think there's definitely a boom chance, right? He's going to start for the Jags at running back this week. We just talked about Ozigbo out. Rykel Armstead probably not going to have much of a role. You have Chris Thompson, who, you know, annually is a big factor as a pass catcher, not much as a runner. So James Robinson very well could have 15 touches in this game, maybe more than that, depending on how the game script goes. You know, he's a small school guy, but he led the FCS last season in yards after contact. So he was effective. You know, I like yards after contact and elusiveness. Good size there. So they say he has a three down skill set. Would not surprise me if he's one of the breakout players this season. Now, I'm not saying you just throw him in your lineup and you bench Melvin Gordon or something, but he should at least be on the end of benches right now.
So breakout, sort of a relative turn here, right? So a relative term, I should say. I guess my hesitations, and I don't think you disagree with any of these ardently, is that I think this offense is going to be really, really bad, and they're going to be super pass heavy, and they're going to be playing from behind all the time. The offensive line is fine. It's not a real strength, but it's not a real weakness either, in my opinion. But and also, like, would anybody be stunned if the Jaguars add a back in, like, the next 72 to, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 days? Like, it wouldn't surprise me if after week one they revisit Devontae Freeman, who they were not able to reach an agreement with previously. So I love that Mike grinds the FCS tape. Nobody else at ESPN is grinding the FCS tape other than Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, and Mike Clay. But I'm just sort of staying away from this Jacksonville backfield as much as I can.
Totally get it. All right, next up here, Stefania, you're going to come to you. David Montgomery practices on a limited basis with a groin injury.
Ah, my finger.
Is this news or noise here for David Montgomery going into week one against the Detroit Lions?
This is news because we assumed when we saw the injury that it's something that could keep him from the start of the season. He had that groin injury a couple of weeks ago. And then he's back in practice for the first time with the door open for him to return week one. Now, I would still be very cautious. Yesterday was a limited practice. We'll see what happens Thursday and Friday. But groin injuries, again, these soft tissue injuries, very notorious for being easily aggravated. I will say there was a report on NBC Sports that his teammate Tariq Cohen said the media made a bigger deal out of the injury than they did, and that they felt like it never happened, that he looked like the same guy out there in practice. So if you want to believe his teammate, you can take that for what it's worth. And it's not necessarily that he wouldn't start out looking great. Your fear is that so soon after this injury, which didn't look good when it happened, that it could that he could suffer a setback if he plays pretty quickly.
All right, Mike, so let's talk about this from the let's talk about this from the hardcore standpoint, because I don't think anybody in a 10 team two running back league, unless you went zero RB, is likely to be leaning on David Montgomery this week. And if you went zero RB, you probably have a couple of other options that you could insert over David Montgomery. But let's say you play in the expanded league, 14 teams maybe, or maybe you play in a league that has three running back spots or non-PPR scoring. If he plays, are you good with David Montgomery here, or are you fading as much as you possibly can and saying, you know what, let me see him A, sort of earn it, and B, look like an improved player? Because let's not forget that, I hate to say, a rookie was one of the bigger disappointments in fantasy football last year, but he was one of the bigger disappointments in fantasy football last year.
Yeah, I mean, the volume is there, the efficiency wasn't, he disappointed. You're exactly right. I think if you're talking 12-plus team leagues, it is newsy because you did draft him to start in that scenario, right? Unless you went super running back heavy. So I think that if he goes here, you fire him up unless they maybe add a running back. That would be kind of a signal that maybe he's limited or not going to play, something like that. But it's David Montgomery in Chicago. It's Tariq Cohen in passing situations and as a change of pace runner. And that's pretty much it. We know, like, there's not many backfields like that where it's a 1-2 punch. You know that one of the lead back is going to get all the carries, kind of like a David Johnson in Houston. So you at least feel good about the floor in that situation. So a little bit nervous, but, you know, if you drafted him, you're probably in a situation where you need to start him. I think that we can feel pretty good about it.
All right, one more here, Daniel. What do you got?
One more. We're going to start with Stefania, then go to Mike Clay. Jalen Reagor returns to practice, Stefania. Is this news or noise? How concerned do we need to be with Jalen Rager's injury potentially lingering in to week one?
It's definitely news. I mean, he's back in practice. This was something that they thought maybe could cost him a month. He had a small labral tear in his shoulder when he was trying to make a tackle in practice, out doing receiver drills, even returning, fielding some punts. So I think he looked pretty good. Here's the thing. When Tyrell Williams played for the Chargers, he played through a labral injury in his shoulder, and he had a great year. I mean, he performed statistically very well. Tyrell Williams had another labral injury in his shoulder this year, and he went on IR, and he's done for the year. So, you know, there's a wide range of outcomes, as Matthew would say, when you have this type of injury, and it really depends how it affects you individually. I think you take it as a very good sign he's back in practice. We had heard a few days ago, maybe week two, so I'm not sure I'm counting on week one, but I think it's quite possible that he comes back and performs really well.
Mike, news or noise?
I think it's only news in very deep leagues where you're planning on starting him, right? Most leagues, 10 and 12 team leagues, you drafted him late, you're not going to start him. So I think it's interesting long term because at some point he could be their number one receiver and break out. But for now, for week one, I think we don't have to be too concerned about this because you're not going to start him.
Yeah, I agree. It's noise. We'll revisit this player later if he breaks out. But for now, it's noise to me. No one was drafting Jalen Reagor to be their starter in their lineup other than perhaps Jalen Reagor's family, which I'm sure if they did that, they are optimistic about his outlook for the upcoming season. And I hope to be as well because I think the player is very talented and the Eagles certainly could use some wide receiver reinforcements. Before we get to all kinds of other information, we have Mike Clay with a couple of words.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Here we go, Mike.
Now is the time to celebrate that football is back, Mike Clay.
And at DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, it is putting you in the center of this weekend's action with over $8 million.
What?
How do I get a piece of that? Well, I'm going to keep reading, and I'll let you know. It is up for grabs across all of their contests. To kick off the season, DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit when you use code FOCUS during signup. Get in on the action right now. Draft your lineup now and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with a DraftKings lineup. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, standard the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. That seems pretty simple.
That's right.
I think we could do that.
You just download the DraftKings app, right, Mike?
You do. You download it right now and use the code FOCUS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and compete for over $8 million in prizes across all contests. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus. Enter code FOCUS to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code FOCUS only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
And boy, oh boy, if you are looking forward to CSS DFS this year, you are in luck because it is going to be in your podcast feed later this afternoon. Me, Mike Clay, Al Zeidenfeld. Mike, a little bit of a teaser just going into, in case there's a showdown lineup, if you want to play this game tonight, Chiefs and Texans, who do you have as your captain in the DK showdown lineup?
Yeah, so we do our optimal lineup in our podcast. This is the optimal lineup for the showdown captain lineup tonight. Captain Sean Watson.
Ooh,
I've heard he's good. I've heard he's pretty good. Patrick Mahomes in the flex, along with a little bit of a stack here with Travis Kelce. We're going to go with Harrison Butt Kicker, as Andy Reid calls him, at a kicker option. Duke Johnson Jr. and Darrell Williams, who, you know, supposedly he's going to, we'll get into this, but supposedly he's going to play a little bit of a role, maybe scores a touchdown. So that would be the optimal lineup for Showdown Captain.
Love it. If you want more DFS information, check out CSS DFS right here in the same podcast feed. All right, Field. Game preview.
I was going to say, Daniel, this is my opportunity to say to you, go play the brain game preview button. We have the Chiefs, who are hosting the Houston Texans again. First game tonight. It kicks off at 8:20 p.m. Eastern time. These teams, you may remember, played in the playoffs last year. And here's what happened. The Texans got out to a 24-0 lead, and the game was over. I turned it off.
You did.
Right.
You watched that friend. Friends.
There was another Friends marathon on. So 24-0, the Texans marched to the, I'm being told, the Chiefs won by 20.
What?
51 points.
By 20?
Yeah. The Chiefs tonight better fall behind by at least 10 points in order for me to feel comfortable. But let's dive into this game preview. And along those lines, of course, Patrick Mahomes, a star for everybody's lineup. And if you drafted Patrick Mahomes, obviously you are starting him as well. I'm the only person who doesn't have him number one ranked amongst quarterbacks for this week. I have Lamar Jackson at one. I'm sorry.
Wow.
You want to take
you
to
draft him last night and suddenly he's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's how it goes, actually. It's bias. It's bias on my part. It is worth noting that last year in that playoff game, Patrick Mahomes had 5 passing touchdowns. He also had 53 rushing yards. A reminder that for Houston right now, it's a decent secondary when healthy, but it's not fully healthy. Gary Conley is a player that's not going to play for them tonight. He is on IR for the Houston Texans. So there's all kinds of questions about how they'll match up with the Chiefs, but ultimately you feel great about Patrick Mahomes. I don't think we need to belabor this much more than that.
I don't think so. I think Houston's defense isn't what it used to be, so you don't really need to be intimidated by it. I have them 26th on paper. They struggled against quarterbacks last year, and you might wonder, well, they actually played twice last season. You might wonder, how did Patrick Mahomes do against them? You just pointed out, great in the playoffs. He had 8 touchdowns and 1 interception in the 2 games.
It works.
Almost 600 yards. I mean, there's really nothing to be worried about. You drafted him for a reason. Sure. You fire him up this week.
Let's move forward to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And again, a lot of these players, this is two high octane offenses. We're not going to tell you you should or should not, or you should not start these players, obviously. It's more just sort of getting a general feel for the outlook. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is fun, Mike, only because we've never seen him play before. He is ranked close to like top 11 or 12 for a consensus rank. I'm highest at 10. You've got him at 13. Daniel's got him at 12. Matthew's got him at 14. Maybe the only thing people want to know, Mike, is, all right, so you guys were advocating for him in the first round all preseason. Many were saying you could take him as high as pick 4. He went number 1 in the War Room League last night to Lewis Riddick. Why is he ranked 10th or lower? And is this a reflection of Houston's run defense? Is this a reflection of C needing to see it to believe it? Or, as you teased earlier on in the show, are you expecting that Darrell Williams could have a prominent role tonight?
Well, first of all, it's probably a great matchup because Houston was really bad against running backs last season, and they lost E.J. Reader,
right? Really good player,
defensive tackles in the NFL during the offseason. So I do think they'll struggle against the run. The only question here is how many touches he will get, right? Because they've already said that Darrell Williams will essentially split carries with him in this game. We'll see if that's true. I'm assuming if one of them comes out better than the other, they'll take kind of control of in that department. I have it projected 15 touches for Edwards-Helaire, 7 for Darrell Williams. I think that's perfectly reasonable and conservative, but the ceiling's high. So you're again, you took him in the first round, probably. You're going to start him. But the only thing I'd say is maybe in daily fantasy, you know, more people will be excited to see him and fire him up. It's not going to matter much since it's a Thursday game in daily fantasy. But that's the only reason we're a little bit lower. He's still a terrific play.
Let me just caution this right now, because I know what's going to happen is that there's going to be an extreme reaction to Clyde Edwards-Helaire no matter what happens.
Sure. Yep.
Right?
Sure. Yep.
Either you have a bunch of, I told you so.
Yep.
Or you have, those morons did it again.
Preach.
Overstating the impact of a rookie running back. How much are they getting paid? I could be a fantasy football expert at ESPN.
So you've been sending those messages to me, right?
Yes. It's my burner.
All your burner account. I knew my it. That's account. Like that's yeah. verbatim what yeah. I see in the timeline.
Field, how many preseason games with Clyde Edwards-Helaire have you watched this preseason as a part of like your preparation?
How many NFL preseason games?
Yeah.
11?
You've watched 11.
11 NFL. With Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Because yeah. like that's the thing.
I watch all of them.
We've yeah. watched as many preseason games as everybody else out right. there that wants to be right. Armchair fantasy analyst.
I'm preparing myself mentally
yeah.
for like the there is going to be no, and last year, remember this happened last year, right? David Montgomery and the Bears played in the Thursday night season opener. And by the end of the game, extreme reactions. Now, the end result is that David Montgomery, as you said, Mike, the volume was still good. The efficiency was poor. He wasn't as terrible as anecdotally it feels like he was. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a chance to make a great impression or for a bunch of people to get big mad in our Twitter mentions. If you're trying to get mad, at Mike Clay NFL on
that's
Twitter
it.
Is the yes, place to go.
Tyreek
Hill, top 3 for all of us. Daniel actually has him at number 2. And
yeah.
Mike, you talked about how you had 8 touchdown passes last year. Daniel, you thinking Tyreek gets into the end zone tonight in a pass that travels at least 30 yards in the air?
I was going to say 35 yards. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, what do you have to say here? Like, I think they're going to want to come out and sling it. Like, it's just going to be a fun game to watch, and we all have them inside the top 3. So.
Yeah. Is there any other Chiefs wide receiver that you would play in this game? I mean, there's going to be somebody besides Tyreek Hill amongst the Chiefs wide receivers that makes an impact. Is this back to where we were last year, which is where when the Chiefs play, you grab your dart, you just throw it against the board. If it lands on DeMarcus Robinson, you play DeMarcus. If it lands on Sammy Watkins, you play Sammy Watkins. If it lands on
Mecole Hardman,
you can play him. I was going to say, there's like a deep cut. Like, wasn't there like a game last year where like, God, like, their sixth wide receiver had. Like Garrett Dieter, who's not even on the active roster, like he's going to get promoted in the middle of the first quarter, which is not even allowed.
Marcus Kemp.
Right, he's going to score a touchdown. Yeah, Marcus Kemp, like their ace special teams player. Someone's going to go get weird. Is there any reason to buy or invest any of those players? Maybe not necessarily just for week one, Mike, but is there any, but they, that, like, did you have any late round flyers amongst Chiefs wide receivers not named Tyreek Hill?
Well, I think, Mecole Hardman is the guy. I mean, he's a second round pick last season going into year two. There's no indications he's going to play a substantially larger role in last season, which is definitely a concern. But in this offense, you want guys like that on your bench. I mean, Sammy Watkins last season led all receivers in week one fantasy points. And I will say this. Last season, actually in that playoff game, none of the receivers had a big game. They scored 51 points, and it was pretty much all Travis Kelce. And one of the reasons for that was Bradley Roby shadowed Tyreek Hill in both of those games and did pretty good. 38 pass routes against Roby. Hill had 9 targets, 3 catches, 45 yards, no touchdowns. So we actually had his number.
Yeah,
Roby's in that sample.
He's really fast. This is what like his great strength is. He's very, very fast. Yeah.
So perhaps one of these other guys steps up. They're going to get Lonnie Johnson and Vernon Hargraves, who both struggled in a big way last season. So deep league, you could throw a dart at a Watkins, maybe a Hardman, but I think you have many better options in week one.
Here's my takeaway on Mecole Hardman. Next year at this time, we'll be talking about Mecole Hardman as potential top 15 wide receiver in fantasy football.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, because Sammy Watkins has 1 year left on his contract, right? I don't suspect. I mean, I shouldn't say I don't suspect. What if he's gone, right? If he's gone and it's Tyreek Hill plus Mecole, and remember, the Chiefs obviously have, they're going to have to make some roster squeeze decisions going forward. Don't you think that we could be talking about Mecole Hardman as a potential top 20 wide receiver?
I think it's possible, but he has to play more this season and produce.
No, but I think it's going to be next year. It's going to be, hey, Sammy Watkins is gone. Here comes the breakout.
Right.
And this is not relevant to right now. I'm just, you know, again, you're starting all these guys. I want to mix things up and let you get excited.
You've got to assume that with like a second round pick in an offense that has Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback, that like if he is good enough to get on the field, man.
We're going
to
do this forever. Forever and Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be, hey, and this, like we did it with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady for 20 years. Heck, we're still doing it with Tom Brady. Tom Brady is 97 and he's still got Scotty Miller.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're talking about Scotty Miller.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on.
Justin Watson. Yeah.
Travis Kelce, we all have him at 1. Matthew has him at 2. I mean, who do we have to call?
Oh, God.
What do we have to do?
Man.
What is Travis Kelce? How has he done Matthew Berry wrong in the past? I'm assuming he has George Kittle 1. I don't know.
I am probably.
Anyways, irrelevant. Travis Kelce is going to go crazy.
Vance McDonald.
Logan Thomas.
That's right. It's 1.01.
Yeah, Washington's tight end.
Travis Kelce is off the injury report in case anybody gets a little bit nervous. And that's other. Actually, let me take this moment for a PSA if I could.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are still drafting or finished up drafting last night. And you get all these questions about, like, you know, in the first round. And I, obviously, we have a ton of people that know exactly what they're doing, and they're very, very smart. I don't want those people to think that I'm insulting them by mentioning this right now, this dynamic. But there are also a lot of people that I help during the draft process that are playing fantasy football for the very first time and have zero idea whatsoever about the NFL. And so they may say, hey, man, like, you're telling me to take Miles Sanders, and he's got the big red Q next to him in the first round? Yes, yes, I'm still telling you to take Miles Sanders somewhere between, like, he's going to go between like 8 and 14, right? Just a reminder, like, you know, a lot of guys are going to have the queue. A lot of guys are going to have the designation, but check the injury report. And a Thursday night game, there shouldn't be any concerns because it's not like you're juggling 13 inactive lists. You're juggling 2 tonight, the Chiefs and the Texans. Travis Kelce off the injury report. We expect a major year for Travis Kelce. I just love the player. He has, I think he's gone, 4 straight seasons with at least 1,000 receiving yards. No tight end in the history of the NFL has ever done that. Put it on the board. He's going for 5 this year.
Put Travis it on Kelce. The board.
Thank you for that. I'm not sure who I'm betting. I'm just mentioning that Travis Kelce will have 1,000-plus receiving yards again this season. We're going to talk about the Texans in just a moment, but first, Stefania Bell.
Did you know, Field, that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed with Belgian waffles and a fresh fruit compote? As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
These days, it seems like life forces us to be on all the time. Oh, sorry, I was checking my phone. But every now and then, it's important to stop and reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Do you ever feel like you're always on? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time, and no one Nothing good comes from hustling. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look, delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Texans are 9-point underdogs in this game. Mike, Deshaun Watson recently paid. It is sort of interesting. And again, you're starting him. We've all got him actually right across the board at number 3 in our quarterback rankings. I'd be curious, as we got to the end of this preseason, where you ended up with Deshaun Watson. He did not slide precipitously in quarterback rankings, but for a guy that in previous years, lock it in, number 2, number 3 fantasy quarterback, obviously up until last year, number 2, and then now number 3, et cetera. Did he fall, like, where was he in your season-long rankings for quarterbacks? Number 3?
He was 3 all season.
Okay.
I never touched him. There were occasionally drafts where I would take Kyler Murray just going for the high ceiling over him, but it was pretty close. Look, we know he's a tremendous passer. His passing efficiency has been well above average in his career, and he adds a ton of value with his legs. I don't even know if we talk about that enough. What he's did, 413 yards, 7 touchdowns on the ground last season. Obviously, he's a tremendous player. He still has a pretty good supporting cast, even without DeAndre Hopkins. It hurts that he's gone, but he still is 4 deep at the wide receiver position. So I'm still happy with him. I think he's going to pay off for those who invested in him this year.
Yeah, so I'll just say this, and this applies to all Texans here for this game. It's worth mentioning. The Chiefs are in some ways one of the great opponents to face in fantasy if you have a competent offense. And here's the reason why I mention that, is that best case scenario, you get into a shootout because the Chiefs are going to always put up points on your defense, right? Yep. The Chiefs are not going to grind out many 13-10 games. They had that game against the Colts last year. Actually, the Texans did play them to basically that kind of game last year.
They beat them, yeah.
I don't expect it to happen. Was it 20-10, I think it was? That, to me, was very much the outlier of the Chiefs. That two-week stretch was very much the Chiefs' outlier week. So you're either going to have a shootout game or you're going to be getting smothered. And I know the Chiefs played really well defensively down the stretch last year, but defenses are just going to defend you differently when they're up by 21 points. So I expect this to be, like, I expect all Texans to have a reasonable chance to deliver tonight.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, because Watson only had 3 passing touchdowns in the 2 games against the Chiefs last season, but he had 668 passing yards because, to your point, he had to throw the ball. He had 79 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. Obviously, that's terrific fantasy production.
Sure.
So, to your point, he'll be busy in this game.
I'm just curious. So
Daniel's wearing a Deshaun Watson.
I am wearing a Deshaun Watson jersey. Big Deshaun Watson fan. So here's my question. If you knew that Brandon Cooks was going to be out, right? Yeah. He lost DeAndre Hopkins this offseason. So his pass catchers this week would be Will Fuller and David Johnson.
Kenny Stills, Randall Cobb.
So, like, would that move him down at all for you? If we find out going into this, probably not enough to take him out of that QB1 ranking. Like, if you drafted him, you're starting him, obviously. But would that change anything for you?
Probably not. No. I think it would have to, like, and it would have to be that you drafted a second quarterback, and that second quarterback would have to have, like, just an incredible matchup. Like
Josh Allen against the Jets.
Yeah.
I
was thinking, like, him or Cam Newton,
Cam against
two
the
guys
Dolphins.
That may have been second quarterbacks if you drafted them. But even then, I'm still
there's just
going
not a lot of weapons around him. Like, if Brandon Cooks is out, like, obviously there's not as many, so he's going to have to, you know, make some plays happen with his legs.
One thing that I think is sort of misleading, though, and maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe I will. But we've held Deshaun's incredibly tiny sample size of not playing with DeAndre Hopkins against the people have said, well, you know, you look at the yards per attempt without DeAndre Hopkins. It's like 12 snaps. Like, DeAndre Hopkins has not missed games. Right. Like, and believe it or not, like, Deshaun Watson's really good. Like, you don't pay him $39 million a year on an extension. If you don't believe this is one of the, 2 to 5 best quarterbacks in football. So we're all in on Deshaun Watson. Let's move forward, though. How about David Johnson? A really interesting player. Mike, you talked about it earlier in the show. You mentioned how Johnson has a very clearly defined role. And, you know, I've been probably one of the stronger supporters of David Johnson throughout the offseason. My biggest concern is that some of the stuff that we saw over the past 3 years is legitimately concerning. He has not been a high average per carry player since basically his rookie season. He's still an awesome pass catcher. He was great the first 5 weeks of last year before he basically got hurt and benched. I'm in. And, you know, part of the reasons why I expressed optimism in David Johnson this offseason was that, you know, the role is very clear. This is a guy who's shown a plenty of talent in the past, especially as a pass catcher. I thought that, and I know this is getting a little bit into sports psychology, but I thought that some of what happened last year was like a player going through a very difficult personal situation of always being the guy, being the $13 million per year running back, and then getting benched. Like, that can really weigh on you quickly. I think it's sort of like there is this grand opportunity in front of David Johnson, and as much as many took to task the trade of DeAndre Hopkins, the Texans did it because in their mind, they believe that David Johnson was a very valuable part of their roster going forward. They believe in him, and if they believe in him, it can't guarantee success with the opportunities, but it can almost guarantee the opportunities.
Yeah, look, I'm with you, and as we mentioned earlier, there's a very clearly defined depth chart here. Like, a lot of teams will play multiple, you know, say three-plus running backs this week.
Yep.
The Texans will probably play two, right? It's going to be David Johnson early downs, Duke Johnson in passing situations. And by the way, Duke Johnson, his last six or seven games last season, averaged two carries per game, right? So he's not a factor in that department. Buddy Howell is the third back. But I do have some interesting nuggets here for people on this matchup, right? So the Chiefs last season allowed the fourth most fantasy points to running backs. And we don't want to get too caught up in that from last year, right? However, the Chiefs' defense is basically the same. They're returning their top 11 players in snaps. 85% of their defensive snaps are back. They allowed the eighth most rush yards and the second most scrimmage yards to running backs last season. So I think we could call that a plus matchup. And by the way, he's basically replacing Carlos Hyde. Presumably he's an upgrade on Carlos Hyde. That's why you didn't resign him and you acquired David Johnson. Hyde in his two games against the Chiefs, 39 carries, 160 rushing yards, 192 scrimmage yards in those two games. And again, you think David Johnson is better and he's a more of an asset as a pass catcher. So that's a long way of saying I'm at RB16. You drafted him, you start him. It's a perfectly fine matchup.
All right, so let's get to the worry where there actually might be some decisions to make in this game. It's surrounding the two Texans wide receivers, the two top Texans wide receivers. And Will Fuller is a player who's hovering right around wide receiver 30 in our ranks this week. Mike, you've got him at 30. I've got him at 28. Matthew's got him at 30. Daniel has him at 31. So you're making a decision on Will Fuller. He's either your flex, a potential wide receiver 3, depending on what your league formatting is. I have memories of Will Fuller against the Chiefs last year in that playoff game. Was it the first play from scrimmage? Like 78 yards for a touchdown? And it reminds me that, like, part of why I'm investing in Will Fuller is that when he's healthy, and he's healthy going into this game, I'm putting him in my lineup not because I'm expecting the 7 for 205 and a touchdown or two touchdowns, but, like, he may only need 3 for 78 and a touchdown. That's Will Fuller.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The reason he was a value in drafts was health, right? Had that not been a concern, he might probably would have been top 15 or so wide receiver fantasy, because look at what he did last season in 9 full games. And this is with DeAndre Hopkins. He averaged just under 8 targets a game and was the number 13 scoring fantasy receiver, right? Talent's not a concern. Pedigree's not a concern. He was a first round pick. Speed's not a concern. Role's not a concern. He's going to be most likely their number one target, or if not, right there with Brandon Cooks. He's a terrific offense, a terrific quarterback working behind him. You know, you could point to the Chiefs being very good against perimeter receivers last season. That's notable, I guess, but Bashaud Breeland's not going to play in this game.
He's suspended. Yeah.
So it's Charvarius Ward, it's Rashad Fenton, it's Antonio Hamilton, guys like that.
Yep.
So it shouldn't be too troublesome for him to get by some of those guys. So again, you drafted him to play. If you drafted him, you're going to start him every week. The only concern was durability. Get him in your lineup.
All right, so one more, and this is maybe the most notable one. Let's go to Stefania here, because injury reports are back upon us, Stefania, and the Texans and Chiefs have released their official game statuses. What do we know about Brandon Cooks and that quad injury that's been bothering him of late?
Field, he's the first questionable fantasy football player of the season, and this is going to come down to a game-time decision, something that didn't seem to be a big deal. They were managing his workload a little bit to protect him for a couple weeks in the preseason, but then not practicing earlier this week, limited practice on Wednesday, and it sounds like they're going to want to go down to the wire as far as game time and see how he feels pregame. It would make me concerned about, well, first of all, if he's going to play, obviously, but even if he does play, how much they utilize him. And as you know, it's the time of year when it's really easy to flare up these soft tissue injuries. Certainly makes Will Fuller look like a good option tonight.
All right, so Will Fuller, we feel confident, but based off of the potential for Brandon Cook sitting. So I know a lot of people are dealing with this decision, Mike, but I'm going to bring this one close to home. I am. Last night we had our War Room League draft, and 16 teams, two wide receivers, but two flexes as well. So it's a larger starting lineup by one spot than normal, and my team includes Brandon Cooks as a potential weekly flex option, which we like the value of that player, by the way. He was wide receiver, what, 37 in terms of draft ADP. If he plays tonight, how close is it to he plays, you play him, in your opinion?
It's not as rock solid as Will Fuller, but it's close. I have Fuller wide receiver 30. I have Cooks wide receiver 36. So if I have him, I'm probably going to fire him up. Keep in mind, I mean, we forget this because of recency bias, I guess, obviously coming off a rough year, but the four previous seasons to last year, he was a top 15 receiver, not in points per game, in actual fantasy points. The guy delivered the goods when he was on the field. Now he goes to Houston. Obviously, he's going to be a huge part of this offense. So again, he's one of them guys that if you drafted him, you're probably going to get a value if he holds up and concussions aren't an issue and he makes it through the season. I think, again, he's a flex option this week.
Okay, so we could have Brandon Cooks tonight. And if he does play, agree he's a flex option. And I know, and we, again, I'm sorry that I keep referencing things that we said all preseason, but Brandon Cooks and David Johnson have redemptive elements to their season. And I know that we're surrounding ourselves with narratives and a lot of them aren't going to play out as we are hopeful for, but a good chunk of them, maybe some of them do. And Brandon Cooks is 26 years old. He has four 1,000 yard wide seasons already. Four! Like, that's hard to do. Right. And very talented player. Very fast player, and as I mentioned off the top, it's going to be a good game script for the Texans because I don't think they're grinding out a 20-10 win. I think they're either losing 51-31 again, or they're losing a game that's more competitive, and it's 44-41. So I'm in on the Texans and Chiefs being a high-scoring game. Should we pick it for fun?
Yeah, let's pick it for fun.
Okay, why not? Do we have a Pickskin Pick'em group this year on ESPN yet or no?
I'm going to say no.
Okay, we don't. All right, we can figure that out, potentially set it up. If we do, we'll obviously make our pick for tonight, and we'll try to get that set up. Maybe if the people want to be a part of it, it's always fun to pick games, and we'll make sure that if we get it set up, we mention it to you on the podcast tomorrow. I'm picking the Chiefs. How about you, Daniel?
I'm picking the Chiefs, too.
I'm Mike. Going Chiefs, but it's not for fun. This is the projection. The projection. Chiefs 32, Texans 25.
Okay.
I'll cover the spread, but yeah.
That's a nice, robust, I was saying 44-41, but 32-25 is
that's
definitely
high.
Enough.
That's a
enough
high number. Yeah.
Fantasy goodness.
That's actually the over. That's over the line. So, yeah.
Over the line. Okay. That's good to know. Twitter question, Dan, you want to take that? Or you want to, we sort of cover it with Brandon Cooks. I was going to say, the question was for a flex consideration, Jonathan Taylor or Brandon Cooks? Obviously, assuming Brandon Cooks plays and his PPR scoring.
I would just fire Cooks up because we don't know Taylor's role yet, right? His NFL debut, he might get 8 touches or he might have a long touchdown run and this looks silly, but I think it's you go safe with Cooks.
I was going to say, one of the Colts backs is going to immediately cause concern after this weekend, right? It's going to be, I wasted a pick on Marlon Mack in the 10th round, or it's going to be, I used my third round pick on Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack had 22 carries. These things take some time to sort out. Please be patient with us going into the start of the season. We're going to talk about wide receiver cornerback matchups in just a moment, but Daniel, first, a word from you.
Wake up and smell that Wendy's breakfast, buy one, get one for a dollar, is here. Pick from four fan favorites on the Wendy's breakfast menu, the breakfast baconator, the honey butter chicken biscuit, sausage egg and Swiss croissant, or the frosty chino. Buy one and score another one of these for just a buck. How about that for a fantasy play? Wendy's Breakfast. We'll see you in the morning. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's for a limited time only. Value for item of equal or lesser value. Value for valid for small Frosty Chino. Offer cannot be combined with a combo or any other offer. And Mike, your wide receiver cornerback matchup is brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast. Buy one breakfast fave and get a second one for just a buck. And I want to talk about DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson from the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, you saw that one for a second, right?
I know. Yeah. I'm so worried about getting the second one right. I almost did the first one wrong. From the Carolina Panthers going up against the Las Vegas Raiders tonight.
Do I get Wendy's breakfast while I do this?
While we do this, but we are working on getting Wendy's breakfast.
Yeah. And by the way, not tonight. They're playing on Sunday.
Did I say tonight?
I don't know why. You're excited. I'm excited,
man,
too.
I'm just excited. Yeah. I'm excited about football tonight.
Okay, cool. Mike, tell us about this matchup. And this is a cross-country road trip in week one. Very audacious of the NFL to schedule the Raiders going across the country.
Indeed, and they are favored. So how about that one?
Wow.
Interesting. It shows you the Panthers in a rebuild, we'll just say that. But nonetheless, DJ Moore, 85% on the perimeter last season. Robbie Anderson, 80% with the Jets. That's the expectation. They will be the outside receivers in this new look Matt Rhule scheme that we expect to be very beneficial to the wide receiver position. Why is that important information that they'll be on the outside? Well, there's very young, inexperienced corners that are going to be covering them. Trayvon Mullen, a second-round pick last season, was kind of up and down as a rookie, which you expect. And then Damon Arnette, they picked in the first round this season. So, he's making his pro debut. We have two talented perimeter receivers, both of these guys. We want to upgrade. So DJ Moore, I think, is a top 10 kind of lock this week. And Robbie Anderson is a flex option.
Yeah, he's an interesting player. He has gotten zero buzz this preseason, Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that because he's not a good player. This is a reflection of having zero preseason games. Like, what if they had three offensive drives and on one of them, Teddy Bridgewater chucked a 40-yard touchdown to Robbie Anderson? He'd be much more on our radar. And I mean, this is your specialty, not mine, but I'd imagine that the Raiders are also in the plus column for matchups, because the Panthers the whole group, this Panthers may be the staple of your wide receiver cornerback matchup this year, because they have three talented wide receivers and a defense that is, I mean, they kept all seven of their drafted rookies. They're going to play a ton of new faces, and some of them aren't great as it is. Like, it's going to be a very interesting team this season.
Yeah, I think of their I think it's the top 15 snap getters for their defense last year, I think four are back.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that's the number. It's it's a complete overhaul. I don't remember in a long time a defense doing something like this. It's a complete overhaul and youth movement. It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, Matt Rhule obviously has patience on his side with that 7-year contract. All right, one more plus matchup here, and that will be Stephon Diggs making his Bills debut. Mike, you like him?
I do. And look, I wasn't super high on him in drafts this year, but okay. I like the matchup out of the gate. Jets fans might want to shut this off because I know they disagree with me on this, but the cornerback play, or certainly the perimeter cornerback situation here, is not very good. Pierre Desir, you know, the Colts decided to move on in the offseason. Actually, that's kind of a theme with the Jets secondary. It's just like, take all the guys that the Colts got rid of in order to
upgrade
their secondary.
Colts, Eagles, and Ravens.
Yeah, right. So Desir's probably going to be their number one. They have Bless Austin, who was a late-round pick last season, who struggled certainly as a rookie. He's probably going to be the other starter here on the outside. And it's the same kind of dynamic as Carolina. You have Diggs, who lines up outside 83% of the time, John Brown 80%. That was the case last year. We expect almost the same numbers this year with Cole Beasley, of course, in the slot. So we saw John Brown light this defense up in week one last season. And he was actually out in week 17. They arrested players, and Duke Williams went over 100 yards against this Greg Williams defense. So I think Diggs and Brown are certainly upgrades for week one.
All right. So Stephon Diggs, also an upgrade, as you mentioned, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and just not without getting into super deep, but any other names that like came to mind as like obvious major upgrades for you this week that we can find in the column? We don't want to spoil the whole thing.
I could do some foreshadowing here with like CeeDee Lamb some of them are like, if you get into the negative matchups for the week, you're kind of like scanning through those. You could see that, okay, this guy's going to get shut down. So who benefits?
Let's talk about them.
So like,
let's do that then.
Would be one.
Let's go to shadow situations, Mike.
Okay.
And Jalen Ramsey is so rich, I can't even count all his millions. He signed a 5-year, $100 million extension. I believe it's up to $105 million maximum, which ironically is less money than Amari Cooper, who signed a 5-year, $110 million deal. Sort of interesting when you think about that, huh? Like, who would you prefer in a vacuum? Like, if you were starting a roster today?
Ramsey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Over Mari Cooper.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anyways, that's an aside.
The absolute superstar shutdown corner, no question.
And I think, if not, I mean, he's not decidedly younger than Amari Cooper, but they're comparable age, so it's not like you're factoring in that part. Anyways, Amari Cooper against the Los Angeles Rams. And Jalen Ramsey. And I have not accounted for Amari Cooper shadow matchup of Jalen Ramsey this week. Mike, you are downgrading him in a major way. Why? Tell me more about Jalen Ramsey, this guy I've never heard of until today.
Yeah, good at football.
Okay.
Hashtag good at football, for sure. and they have a history, these two guys. In fact, after the Ramsey trade to the Rams last season, the Cowboys played the Rams. And what happened in that game? Ramsey was on Cooper on 15 of his 20 routes. In that game, Cooper had two targets, one catch, 19 yards, and no touchdowns. Back in 2016, now this is way back, and in NFL terms, this is a long time ago. We don't want to get too caught up in this, but he shadowed Cooper on 30 routes. Cooper had two targets, one catch for 4 yards, and no touchdowns. I mean, two for two. He's had his number so far. All indications are he will shadow Amari Cooper in this game. I think that's very likely. So you have to account for that, right? So who benefits? I think Michael Gallup on the other side. We'll see Troy Hill. And then we don't know exactly what the Rams are planning in the slot. It'll probably be a mix of guys. A third safety could be one of those players. But CeeDee Lamb makes his NFL debut, as I just touched on. You're going to upgrade him as well. And maybe that in a deeper league makes him more interesting as a flex option. But I'm definitely nervous if I have Amari Cooper this week.
So just to sort of further extrapolate on how much of an impact Jalen Ramsey made when he got acquired by the Rams in week 7 of last year, only once did a wide receiver score more than 19 points against the Rams after that trade. He's awesome. And I don't know, and I am certainly, if Cowboys fans come chirping at me, or maybe even Raiders fans come chirping at me, I'm okay with it. But you mentioned Amari Cooper struggles against Jalen Ramsey. I would wonder if, like, he has a player who splits look very, and I know that, like, the idea is against elite cornerbacks, generally speaking, you get shut down, but also, like, elite wide receivers, generally speaking, no cornerback can shut them down on occasion too, right? It just feels like, you remember last year, Amari Cooper goes zero catches against Stephon Gilmore, and it was torrential rain, it stunk, obviously, but, like, zero catches is hard. Larry Fitz has had a catch in all but one game of his career, and he's been playing since Matthew was in high school. He's the same age as Barry. so Cooper, you know, I just wonder if this, how, what the splits look like. We always talk about quarterbacks against, like, playoff teams versus non-playoff teams, which is sometimes useful context, and sometimes I think maybe distorts the real image of a quarterback's value. But Amari Cooper, I got to dig deeper on that. How much he has struggled relative to other top wide receivers against number one cornerbacks. All right, Mike, it's been a long time since you could have an Eagles cornerback as somebody that you would say dissuades you from playing a fantasy football wide receiver. But finally, the arrival of Darius Slay has allowed us that opportunity in Philadelphia. What does that mean for Terry McLaurin this week?
Yeah, a couple years ago, I was able to, like, talk about Patrick Robinson, right, when he was shutting down the slot. That was it. That's, like, the extent of it. But, yeah, last season was an example of, in this column, and certainly we talked about this on the Fantasy Show and Fantasy Football Now and on the podcast, and it was always the Eagles on the other side of this, right, a defense that you could take advantage of. And that was the case for Terry McLaurin, right? He's going up against Eagles this week and against Philadelphia. As a rookie last season, 5 catches, 125 yards, and 1 touchdown, and then 5 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown. He had their number, and you might see that and think, well, okay, this is a good matchup for him. But the Eagles now have Darius Slay, one of the premier shadow corners in the NFL. I fully expect him to be on McLaurin throughout this game. And again, we have a little history. Week 12 last season, these two had a well-documented battle in that game. Slay was on McLaurin on all 18 of his perimeter routes and actually traveled to the slot, which top corners don't always do. Covered him on 8 of 14 inside. 11 targets for Terry in that game. 4 catches, 68 yards, no touchdown. So obviously an edge to Slay, but he did come out of the game, and this is where it became notable. After that game, he said that McLaurin was the second toughest receiver he faced that season other than Keenan Allen. So a nice little nod to Terry. Obviously, he's going to be up for the challenge with Slay this week. I'm going to downgrade McLaurin a little bit because Slay is very good, but I still think he's good enough, and we'll see enough volume that you're going to start him.
Okay, interesting. Of course, Darius Slay, once a Detroit Lion, now a Philadelphia Eagle, and I'm glad that we can have Mike Clay preaching optimism surrounding the Eagles' secondary. It looks like a much improved group to me on paper going into the season. All right, let's get to some social questions because we do have time for some. Daniel.
Yeah, we do.
Shall we start things up?
Yeah, I'm going to go over a couple polls that we've put up the last couple of days.
Okay, great.
Question is, would you rather have Alvin Kamara or CEH? 64% said Alvin Kamara.
I agree. Mike, who would you prefer?
I agree with that too. What's wrong with Alvin?
Guy's
a superstar. No. Yeah, I know. We love the new shiny toy, right?
Of course. It's fantasy football.
He might be a superstar, but I go Alvin.
This one makes me happy because I think it means that fans actually listen to us. Do you believe Ronald Jones is Bruce Arians' guy? 92% said no.
How about yesterday? Wow. Bruce Arians continuing forward with the Ronald Jones rhetoric. Like, he is all in. He's all in.
Love Bruce Arians, but we do not need to trust him for fantasy advice when it comes to, like,
right. We've got other people we can rely upon in that regard, right? So
there's a 50-50 shot he has 6 touches this week, you know? Like,
Yeah.
That could happen. It could just be, right, they could trail the Saints in a Shady McCoy all game.
Totally.
You know, like
100%
totally
agree.
Possible.
Yep.
Do you trust Big Ben as a week one starter? 62% yes. And I think that's reflected in our rankings. We like him a lot this week.
Yeah, I was surprised it's that low. It should be more than that, shouldn't it? The Giants, this is one of the best matchups you'll see all season.
Well, I have him QB8, so I guess 62% is about right, I guess, right? So I guess that aligns. Yeah, I certainly like him. Was fine on the road 2 years ago when they were super pass heavy. You know, that used to be a concern with him. They're at the Giants. Weak defense, obviously, they have work to do there. So love the situation for Ben. If I have him, I'm starting him.
Okay.
Okay. Will James Conner be a top 10 running back if he stays healthy? This is tough. 53% said yes. I'm curious where you guys are at on that. I know we talked about it with Matthew.
Yeah, I think no, but I think it's like, this is one of those where, is it possible? Of course it's possible. Am I counting on it? No, I'm not counting on it. I'm counting on more like 12 to 15 for James Conner this year if he stays healthy.
If he plays 15 plus games, I think he's a lock.
It's top 10.
For top 10. I mean, 2 years ago, he missed three games and was RB6. And I think this offense will be, you know, pass heavy. He'll be heavily involved in the passing game. He's going to be their workhorse. I think it's a lock if he plays 15 plus games.
I believe it is primary toter is the new term.
Primary toter?
Toter, yes, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe it's heavy toter. One of the two that Mike Tomlin, he's a wordsmith. He came up with the new main toter. Main toter.
Main toter? Okay.
One. We got to use toter, that. Main toter, James Conner. All right, Daniel, now it's time for some social.
Let's get some questions. This comes from Charlie via YouTube. Will Mark Ingram get enough of the workload to keep him fantasy relevant, even if he's not the starter?
Interesting. I think no. What do you think, Mike? Because I think probably the comparison would be that all of a sudden J.K. Dobbins is Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram is Mark Ingram in New Orleans. I'll tell you one thing. As much as the Ravens love J.K. Dobbins, and there's plenty of reasons to, that team, and this is one of those, it's really tough to quantify, but it's one of those things that, like, you know it if you're around them. Mark Ingram might be the heartbeat of the Ravens. He might be, which I know that, like, ultimately it's a wins-driven business, and if J.K. Dobbins gives you the best chance to win, you're going to have to play him more. But I don't think Mark Ingram is fading entirely this year at all.
I don't think he will fade entirely. I do not think he pays off his ADP, just for similar reasons to Marlon Mack. And it is the young running back that's going to play a role. Now, last year, Mark Ingram was not even a top 10 fantasy running back.
Yeah.
He was RB11. Like
everything went right.
He was RB11. He averaged a little over 13 carries a game and under 2 targets per game. That's not a guy you want to be starting every week in fantasy. And by the way, that was last season before they got J.K. Dobbins and in an offense that will not sustain its effectiveness and its scoring from last season. History tells us that. I mean, it's just not a question. They're going to score fewer touchdowns. His OFP last season would put him RB23. So obviously, as you mentioned, the touchdowns, the efficiency was above expected based on his usage. So you take more of that usage away with Dobbins, it's going to be really hard for him to be a weekly starter. So I say no. I did not draft him at all this year. I'm way off of Mark Ingram.
Okay.
Okay. We got two more here. Ben via YouTube wants to know, who do you like more for the final roster spot here, Bryce Love or Joshua Kelly?
Joshua Kelly, and it's not close for me. Joshua Kelly has a pathway to being a part of that Chargers offense in a hurry. Austin Eckler was amazing last year, and I expect him to be amazing again this year. He also had like 136 carries, which if you do the math, and I know I'm not much of a math guy here, that's like a little over 8 carries per game, right? Like, and you are running the football at least, 25 times per game, minimum on average. 17 carries have to go somewhere, and I know Justin Jackson is on the roster as well, but I think Josh Kelly will quickly emerge as the number two running back for the Chargers, and I don't think it's close between he and Bryce Love.
Yeah, I think Love has a better shot to be a clear featured back if he proves the real deal, but there's no sign that he's kind of blowing past Antonio Gibson, so I would lean toward Kelly. And by the way, that's kind of pointing to potential volume, to your point, because his efficiency, you know, I really get into, like, you know, Jeremy Langford and Kalen Ballage and those sort of guys with their weak college efficiency. And Kelly is in that conversation.
Really? That's
not
really
quite
interesting.
Quite as that severe.
Wow.
But he and, like, Darrington Evans kind of in that conversation. Those would be the
two. That's fascinating. Candidates.
So that makes me nervous about him. But like you said, the reports are positive and he could be looking at 12 touches a game.
Right. I've heard good camp reports. I also I know this stuff is not all the stuff that matters, but like elite character, like, outstanding individual to have on your roster, winning football player, that kind of, just, you know what I mean? Like, so I am more bullish than maybe the numbers might suggest I should be as of right now. What else, Daniel?
Last question comes from Pale Horse Rider via YouTube. Who is the non-T.Y. Hilton Colt wide receiver that you should take a flyer on this year?
Okay, this is kind of a good question. You go first, Mike.
I like Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton!
Paris Hilton is who I like.
We clip that one?
Personal conversation. No. Let's try that again. That's the podcast later, right? We're going to talk about that stuff later. Yeah. Let's try that again. Paris Campbell is who I like. He's the slot receiver for the Colts, right?
Yeah. Yes, so, I think. Yeah.
Look, second round pick last year, super fast, super quick. He's going to play a huge role in his second season. He was going to last year, but obviously dealt with some injuries. So Paris Campbell for me.
I actually agree. I think that the trendy pick would be Michael Pittman Jr., but I like Paris Campbell as well. A lot of excitement around him in Indianapolis right now. Okay, so Friday is a show that will preview a lot of games that take place on Sunday. But in the meantime, we have a game tonight. We're going to try to get the Pigskin Pick'em Pool figured out. Mike Clay, great job as always. We appreciate you having
always
me
fun.
On. Mike Clay NFL on Twitter, and go find wide receiver cornerback matchup on ESPN.com for Daniel and Stefania and Kyle and Mike and everybody behind the scenes that is making it all happen. I am Field. We'll see you guys on Friday. Game previews. Peace out.
Peace out.